I've got a very simple title that I want us to consider for a short while this evening. How I Know God Loves Me. How I Know God Loves Me. Let's ask a question. How do you know if someone loves you? How do you know if someone loves you? They show it. They have your best at heart. They tell you. Want to be with you. That love is expressed. That love is displayed. That love is shown. Has God done that for you and me? Can I know God loves me? The answer of the Bible is a resounding yes. A resounding yes. And I want to focus our thoughts primarily on verses 9 to 10 of that passage that we read in 1 John chapter 4. Now, there's a lot contained in that passage about the impact of God's love in the life of Christians. I'm just going to put that to one side for this evening, because I want to focus on the fact that we can know God's love towards us. And I want that to be the focal point this evening. Because the first thing that John wants to tell us in verse 9 is that God's love is manifested toward us in the sending of his Son. He talks about the sending of the Son both in verse 9 and in verse 10 and in verse 14. Where he says the Father has sent the Son as Saviour of the world. This is amazing news. God has made undeserving sinners the target of his love. Now in verse 8, John makes this simple declaration about God. God is love. But love is far more than just a warm, fuzzy feeling. Love is active, love goes out, and love expresses itself towards something else. When a boy falls in love with a girl, or when a girl falls in love with a boy, their behavior, at least towards each other, changes. Because they begin to express that love. They can't help themselves. And their behavior changes. I remember hearing, sometime after the event, of how one young man manifested his love towards the girl who would later, not that long later, become his wife. They used to attend this church. And this young man, on more than one occasion, would go to the place where his young lady had parked her car at work. And it was a considerable sized car park. And he would walk around looking for her car until he'd found it. And then he would walk up to the car. He would lift up one of the windscreen wipers. Underneath, he would place a red rose and leave it and walk away. And when she came back, there's this red rose, as long as no one else had taken it, on her car. I'll leave you to guess who that might, you might know, they might have told you. They're not telling you. What was he doing? He was manifesting his love. Now, hopefully, I'm sure he did it in many other ways as well. That's just one way in which he manifested his love. His love drove him to do something about that love. He couldn't just keep it all bottled up to himself. At some point, he actually told this young lady, "I love you." And it changed his behavior towards her. God has done that with us. He can't do anything else. God is love, and God's love manifests itself. Love always does. The soldier and the sweetheart during times of war, exchanging letters, manifesting their love in the only way they could under those circumstances, one to the other. Or in a different type of love, the parents who will make personal sacrifice for the good of their own children so that their children don't go without. Some of you remember those days when parents really did make personal sacrifices, where parents will go without a meal, unknown to the children usually, so that the children had food on the table. Families have been through those kinds of hardships, and parents will make personal sacrifices so their children don't go without. Why? Because they love their children, and their love can do nothing else but manifest itself to them. Because God is love, he has actively done something to show us his love. And what he has done is target his love directly at us. This isn't just a general or generic kind of love. It's specific and it's personal. Look at the words of the Bible. Every word is really important, you know. Every single word. It's wonderful what John records here. In this, the love of God was manifested. Is that all he says? No. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us. God just didn't make a general statement. If anyone happens to be listening, "I love you," and walk away. That love is focused. It has a focus and a target. And John says God has manifested his love toward us. God's actually moved to us. He's come to us. Sinful men and women who don't deserve it. He's actually moved right to us. And he's done something to demonstrate his love for us. That's the glory of the gospel. John will go on to say, won't he? It's not that we've loved God. God has come and loved us. We love him because he first loved us. And he's manifested his love toward us. That's what Christmas is all about. As we remember the coming of Christ. Now he's done it in many other ways as well, of course. We remember at Easter how God has manifested his love for us. In that Christ would love us so much that he would be willing to die. But God has manifested his love toward us. It's very specific. It's focused and targeted. He's made sinful men and women the objects of his love. Isn't that wonderful? And so John will record those famous words, "God so loved the world." And again, it's specific. It's the world. It's this sinful group of the simple sinful population of men and women. God has loved them. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God's manifested his love toward us. Romans 5:8. What does Paul say there? God demonstrates his own love in that Christ died. No, it's more specific than that. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that Christ died for us. No, that's still not complete. It's even more specific than that. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's how specific and targeted and focused the love of God is. God's love is focused on sinners because he wants to deal with sinners for them by his grace. Does God love this world? Has he shown us his love? you'll have come across many people like I have, and they'll pick on some tragic event that's occurred from history, and they'll say, look at that, where's your God of love? Well, we can take them to the Bible. We can say, just give me a minute. It's all I need. Let me show you how God has loved you. Let me show you what God has done to demonstrate his love and make his love known. God's love is manifested toward us in the sending of his Son. That's the good news of the Christmas message. The second thing that John highlights in this passage is that Jesus came that we might live through him. Through him. That we who are dead might live through him, because he lives through us. Jesus came so that we can have him as our source of life. That's what John was writing about back in his gospel in the first chapter. About this Jesus who is the light of men, and that the life is in him. If you just go forward from chapter 4 to chapter 5 of 1 John, we read these words from verse 11. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. My friend, God offers life, but it's only found in one place, and that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. God offers life as he created us to fully know it and experience it. God offers a life that involves living in fellowship with himself, and it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that you can know that life. God offers a life whereby no matter what trials and difficulties come our way, we can turn to someone who is able to fully sympathize with every struggle that we're facing, because he's faced it himself and is able to strengthen and comfort our soul. Jesus has come that we might live through him. Paul, writing to the Galatians, says this, I've been crucified with Christ. What's he saying there? He's saying the old me is no more. The old me died with Christ. And then he goes on and says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Now that tallies exactly with what John is saying here in 1 John 4. That we might live through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this whole Christian message, you see, is all based upon a personal relationship with Christ. It's all based upon a personal encounter with Christ. And as we come to him in repentance and faith, he actually comes and dwells within us. This newness of life is something that he imparts by he himself, through the Holy Spirit, coming and living in us. And that is the source now of our life. It's not just something that we believe. Now we do believe it, but it's not just something we believe. It's something that transforms and renews us. Jesus came that we might live through him. Is that you this evening? Are you living now through Christ? The whole way that you view the world is through him. All of the affections that take hold of you are filtered through him. All of the habits that you develop are filtered through him. All of the ambitions that you have are all filtered through him. Because he now is our life. Jesus came that we might live through him. Is that your experience this evening? Is that your testimony and your personal witness that you're living through Christ? How do I know that God loves me? Jesus came to be the propitiation for our sins, says John. Now, I mentioned this morning that we'd be looking at this, and here we are. Propitiation. Well, as we've got one big word to look at, let me throw in a second and let's deal with two big words at the same time. Actually, the second word is not quite as big as the first one. Let's talk about something. There's two important words when we think about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for sinful men and women. Before we get to propitiation, let's talk about expiation. Expiation. What on earth does that mean? Well, it's very simple, really. Expiation means to remove something. And when we're talking about expiation in terms of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're talking about the Lord Jesus taking away and removing the guilt of our sin. Because he's paying the ransom. We talked about us being redeemed this morning. He has made atonement for our sins at the cross. And he takes away the guilt of our sin. The psalmist speaks about our sins being removed far from us, as far as the east is from the west. That's expiation. God removing our guilt as we stand before him. He's holy and he's just and he's righteous. And we're sinful and we're condemned. But that can all be taken away. And it has been taken away because of the Lord Jesus Christ paying the penalty for our sins at the cross. On the other hand, we've got this word propitiation. And propitiation is really something that has brought about a change in God's attitude towards us. So that the thing that has broken our fellowship with God, having been removed, means that we now have fellowship with God. Because of Christ's expiation, because he's removed the thing that caused the problem, Christ is also a source of propitiation. Because God has been appeased. His anger and wrath has been removed. He's now satisfied with what Christ has done on our behalf, so that we are now declared justified in his sight. We are now declared to be not guilty for our sins, because Christ has paid the penalty for them. And so God now doesn't have to look at us as guilty sinners. Now he sees us as righteous because of Christ. And Christ has satisfied the righteous anger of God. Christ has satisfied God's justice over the fact that there is a penalty to be paid for our sins. Jesus has done that, and the guilt has gone. And so God is satisfied with what Christ has accomplished on my behalf and on your behalf if you're trusting in him. If I'm angry because you've offended me, if you can do something to appease me and take that anger away, then our relationship can be restored and renewed. And this idea of propitiation that John refers to here in 1 John 4 verse 10, he's talking about God no longer being angry with me. No longer am I under his condemnation, because God is satisfied with the work that Christ has done. The ransom has been paid. And God is satisfied with the ransom that's been paid. and I may approach him now. Is that a wonderful thing? How do I know God loves me? Because Jesus himself has done everything necessary to deal with my sin before a holy God. And I may now approach him because of Christ. That's how much God loves me, that he would do that for me. We read earlier from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. But that's only half the verse. Let me remind you of the second half of the verse. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's what it's all about. The Son of God, he loved me. He gave himself for me. That's how I know God loves me. I mentioned this morning about how the Christian faith is rooted in history. It really is. 2,000 years ago, a baby was born. 30-odd years later, that baby, now a man, really did die. 3 days later, he really did rise from the grave. And a couple of weeks after that, he really did ascend back into heaven because he is God. And at some time in the future, that same Jesus will return again. The whole of the Christian faith is rooted in history. And it's important history because it's God at work in his world dealing with sinners. I know God loves me because Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. Do you know that? You can. What does our response need to be to this wonderful gospel message? Well, in verses 14 and 15 of 1 John 4, we read this. We've seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Saviour of the world. Let's pause. Can you see that this Jesus has been sent by the Father to be the Saviour of the world, to be your Saviour? If you can, verse 15 says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him, and he in God. If you confess all the truth about the Lord Jesus that's contained in this book, the Bible, and say, Lord, I believe all this is true about your Son. This is who he is. This is why he came, and I need him. Confess that with your lips, and God will hear your prayer, and he will save you from your sins because of what Christ has already done. You can know this Christmas that God loves you because the Son of God loved you and gave himself for you.